Blog Talk Radio.
Madden voice. 3, 2, 1, now.
And this is why they play the games. Bucks 31, Chiefs 9. Brady does it again. Let me bring the fellas on. We're going to jump right to it. Talk about this Super Bowl. The season is over. We are now in the offseason and the countdown to the Super Bowl 56 begins. K-Star, JB, Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Yes, sir.
What's up, fellas?
We're live.
Hi.
Yes.
Yo, what up, fellas?
What up? We are live. So, going to jump right in. I'm going to ask y'all a question, and y'all tell me if you agree with this statement. How many of you were waiting most of the game, just sitting back, waiting for Kansas City to turn it on? Was it just me?
Oh, of course. Hell no. We was all waiting.
Okay.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes has never lost by more than 10. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes has never lost by more than 10 points in his game that he started in his career. So I definitely expected them to come back and make a game of it, but that just never happened.
Yeah. JB had Kansas City 28-24. Train had Kansas City 31-28. T had Tampa 31-10. No, I'm just kidding. T had Kansas City 38-28. And K-Star is the only one who had Tampa Bay, and he had 30-31. So we all had some points. We all had it. You know, I thought Kansas City would pull away and win by double digits, but that it would be a close game until the end. But, you know, we were all wrong, except K-Star had the right team winning, but none of us saw this coming. It's one of those Super Bowls. Well, first of all, I'll just say this. I was disappointed in the fact that I expected more. And my K-Star's going to probably give me a hard time about this, but I really don't care. This was Andy Reid. Like, this is the Andy Reid that I've been telling you guys about. Doesn't show up in the necessarily blaming him. Let's not get it twisted. But this is what I used to see with Philly when he was a head coach of Philly and he had all that talent. And they went to 5 NFC championship games, but only 1 Super Bowl. And that 1 Super Bowl, they lost. And who they lose to? Yeah, you got it, the Patriots. Tom Brady. But this is what I'm used to seeing. And so when he started showing me, you know, the other stuff, he won the Super Bowl. And, you know, I'm like, okay, he's evolved. And, you know, but this is the guy I'm used to seeing. Just not able to come through and figure it out in the big game. Let me ask JB, were you more impressed with Tom Brady at 43 being able to just look like 33, or were you more impressed with the Tampa Bay defense just really just shutting down, no touchdowns from Kansas City, no touchdowns, you know, among other things? Which one impressed you more?
Damn, that's a tough one. If I have to pick a side, I'm as impressed as I was with Brady. It's that defense, because that Chiefs defense has been lauded all year long. And granted, they had offensive line issues with injuries and what have you, but you still have your skill position receivers, skill position running backs. Obviously, you still have your quarterback. You have your tight end. So the weapons are still there. So to hold that team to 3 field goals, I have to say that defense, because that's a performance that I don't think, and just based upon the scores that all of us had, we all had the Chiefs scoring at least 30 points, if I'm not mistaken, or close to it. They couldn't even hit double digits. So as impressive and as impressed as I am with Brady, given that choice that I have to go with, I have to say the defense of the Bucs, because that was an outstanding performance.
I would agree with you, by the way. The Bucs defense was amazing. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was running for his life all day. All day. He never was comfortable
but you
in
know
the
what?
Pocket.
I'm glad you said that, T, because from the opening play for the Chiefs, that was the tone setter for the rest of the game. Because I have never seen a Chiefs game where the first play, Mahomes is running for his life. Never.
Yep.
And then I saw it again on the second play. I said, oh, shit, this is going to be a long night. I didn't realize it was going to be this kind of a night, but I had a feeling it was going to be a long night because he was running for his life. It seemed like as soon as he said, hey, pew, gone.
I didn't think that. I thought, okay, they're sending something they weren't expecting. There's a scheme that Bowles has set up that they weren't expecting, or they're doing something a little bit different. They'll adjust, right? That's what I'm thinking. Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid, you know, they'll see what's happening and they'll adjust. That's what, and I know Mahomes, you know, O-line is beat up. I get it. You know, I understand that there's some mitigating factors, but from a team like the Cowboys, where we played with a screwed up O-line all year, and I watched the adjustments that were made, and we're not even in the same conversation as Kansas City as far as talent. I just knew that they would adjust with all the talent that they have, and I kept waiting, and it just never happened. Train, same question to you, Doc. You know, the defense or the offense, which were you more – or I mean, I guess we can open it up. If there's something else that impressed you more, I think those to me were the standout thing, but if you want to go a different direction and say, well, this impressed me even more, by all means, but Train.
You on mute?
If, oh, shucks. Here I go, talking to myself. Short answer. The short answer to your question for me would absolutely be the defense. But what I did not realize, and they said it during the game, and we talk about their offensive line, Kansas City offensive line. I didn't realize that losing Eric Fisher caused 3 positions to change.
Yeah,
I thought it would be just 1, maybe 2. It was literally 3 positions to change. So, and I know you compare it to, you know, you guys' offensive line issues. Hell, we had offensive line issues, but it was like 3 position change 2 weeks away from playing the biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
And I still got to give I still think the most impressive performance of that day was that Tampa Bay defense. But, man, you know, I never played football on the offensive line, but the more I watch and learn, I do understand that when that unit suffers an injury, like if you can't just replace the left tackle with the swing left tackle, you got all kinds of issues, because just like the defensive linemen feel each other out throughout the season, know what their guy's going to do, the offensive line does the same thing. And you just saw some leaks there that just shouldn't be there. But even still, I was still expecting Kansas City to be like, yep, we're gonna got it, no problem. We got it. Literally, they're waiting. Like, okay, here it is. This drive right here. All right. This drive right here. They're gonna. This is the drive. Like, all right, they got to do it on this drive. There's no way not getting into the end zone on this drive. And Patrick Mahomes, I'm sorry, the dude had a rough day, but I'll be goddamn if that boy didn't look impressive on his worst game.
Yep.
How the hell
some of those passes that he almost completed.
Oh, my
God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
How are you accurate when your knees is about to hit the ground? How do you throw an accurate ball? You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Name me one. Name any one quarterback. The only person I can think of closest that would try it is Brett Favre. Because he was just as crazy.
Yeah. Or Aaron Rodgers.
But
I put Aaron Rodgers in that conversation.
Yeah.
He and I seen it from 5 years ago or 4 years ago in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Scrambling, rolling, and then hitting Rodgers.
And
there was another game Aaron Rodgers played with. He had hurt himself, and he's gimping around. And he's still zipping a ball in on one leg,
Don't remind me of that shit. We thought we put that motherfucker out.
Hey man, we were a victim of that too. That same season, that same playoff run. I agree with JB. I would put Aaron Rodgers in that conversation, but Pat Mahomes is on another level with that. You know, my God.
Right. It was incredible. So that was, it was like it's the toughest day that you can have at the job. Yet, man, you are still trying to get the work out on time, and everything is coming at you. And this guy, you saw him sidestep in the pocket. You saw him looking left and right at the same time just to see if he can get an opening to get the ball down, and he was always looking to get to a playmaker. It just gets you so pissed that these guys were dropping the ball. But going back to your question, because I don't want to side, because I know Case, I hadn't had a jump in yet, I'm still very impressed for that defense to do it for 60 minutes. Because we're talking about shutting out Kansas City from the end zone for 60 minutes. No one has really done that. They at least got there once. And this is the second time you played them. So, man, Todd Bowles, I know they don't get players MVPs, but you made them boys buy in, and they bought in. And they didn't – for the whole time, they bought in, and they stayed with it.
Yeah. And it also shows that when you talk about building a championship team, there's so many components. But we always go back and say the same thing. Protect the quarterback, pressure the quarterback. If you want any chance to be a championship team in this league, protect the quarterback, pressure the quarterback. And that's what we saw Tampa Bay do. They protected Tom Brady, and he had, time to do what he needed to do. And he was Tom Brady. And they made Patrick Mahomes very uncomfortable all night. All night in the pocket. So, K-Star, are you the only one that predicted a Tampa Bay victory? Funny, you're wrong all year long, and then you come through and you're right in the big game.
Oh, funny how that works out.
It's funny how that works out.
I also said there'd be no disruption in the schedule. We made it to the Super Bowl. Congrats to the NFL. The reason I cited last week was those injuries concern me on the offensive line. Obviously,
you
that figured out into fruition. Yeah,
check
as great as Patrick Mahomes is. Absolutely, that's what I said.
I'm joking. I'm not gonna.
You dickhead.
You dickhead.
Patrick Mahomes is Superman, but goddamn, two tackles and a guard. That's tough. And when you play a front seven, like Tampa Bay has, man, I didn't expect a blowout, but I did expect Tampa to make some plays up front and get some pressure. And, they did more even than that. They just absolutely crushed the whole game. Todd Bowles called a great game, as Strange said.
But really, they just had to rush forward most of the game, and Patrick Mahomes was running backwards like it was John Madden football. And, you know, someone just controlling him, just running backwards, running away from the pressure, like, it just didn't work, you know? And Tampa, you know, Tampa was just a more balanced team at the end of the day because those injuries created the imbalance between the two. And I think that because of those injuries, it created this perfect storm scenario for Tampa Bay to win the way that they did. But, again, Kansas City is otherwise so good that this wasn't really something you could see to this degree because we've never seen it before. That's just testament to how good that offense is, and they just weren't – they didn't have it yesterday.
Well, I'm going to do something I've never done before, and I hope to never have to do it again. I'm going to give Tom Brady credit in an area that I've never given him credit before. But this man clearly understands not just talent, stands scheming on both sides of the ball. And I'm going to tell you why. So he leaves New England. And for everybody who wants to, you know, Bill Belichick, you know, and now we know, shut up, just shut up. Okay. It's just the most, all of this anti-Bill Belichick stuff because Brady went and won another Super Bowl. Where do you think Brady learned all this from for 20 years? Like, I just think people are just ignorant.
Yep.
You know, he learned this under Belichick for 20 years. So now give Brady credit, but he had the best teacher in the game. You know, what do you think happened with Joe Montana when he left Bill Walsh and Seifert in the team? He went to Kansas City and he played lights out. But where did he learn it? You know, I mean, come on, guys. Let's cut the shit with the anti-Belichick stuff because Brady won. Great job for Brady, but trust me, Belichick will be back. Patriots will be back unless he retires. Patriots will be back. My point is, he, you know, it was talk about him going to San Diego. Talk about him going to Tampa, right? But let's be honest. He probably could have went almost any team he wanted to. If Tom Brady calls up almost any team out there outside of maybe a Kansas City or a Baltimore, you know, there's probably a handful of teams that are going to say, look, Tom, you know, you could come in and give us 2-3 good years, but we've got 10, 12 years with this guy. No, thank you. But there's probably 25 teams that would have said, yeah, come on. we'll mortgage our future to go ahead and get a couple of Super Bowls with you. Come on in. But he picked Tampa Bay. He made that decision, which means he went and scouted what they had to make sure that it maximized his chances to get back and win a Super Bowl. Y'all heard that he got Godwin's number, right? Godwin was 12 last year, and Godwin voluntarily gave his number, and Brady was going to pick 7, right? We all heard that. See, Brady, like Jordan and the great, plays for Super Bowls. He's not playing to play. He's playing for Super Bowls. And he, in my opinion, I don't know this as a fact. I'm going by strong circumstantial evidence that he put himself in the eye, and God bless him. I'm not taking that. Don't take this. This is a compliment. This isn't a, well, of course he won. Look at the team he had. No, fuck that. This is, oh, my God. This guy picked the exact situation for him to go to and put himself in the first year back in the Super Bowl and won against a team that just won a Super Bowl. And
with no OTAs,
enjoy him. What's that?
So no OTAs or anything this year either.
Right.
Jesus.
And you got Gronk to come back and join him, who wasn't there last year. And Antonio Brown swears by him, who wasn't there last year. Leonard Fournette played like a monster, wasn't there last year. Like, the key players aren't the Mike Evans and these guys of the world that been on the team, you know, in this game. These are the guys that just came because they wanted to. You heard Fournette.
Play with Tom.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell my kids I played with Tom Brady. I have to give credit. Y'all know I don't care for Tom Brady. Y'all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is what it is. You know, I live in New England. He was a Patriot for 20 years. Didn't care for him. Never said he wasn't talented. I just, not for me. Not, you know. But damn it, if I can't take my hat off and say, I have never seen this. I've never seen this. I mean, even LeBron James, who handpicked and D Wade and Chris Bosh and went to Miami that first year they lost. They went to four straight. The first year they lost the finals to Dallas. First year. He couldn't even get in with his handpicked team. Not three, not four, not five, not six. And he lost in the finals. Nope, Tom Brady went in first year at 43. Not 28 like LeBron was or whatever the hell his age was. 43. I mean, I don't know, guys. I never thought in my lifetime I would see a quarterback better than Joe Montana. Because for me, he was quarterback God. And still is to some degree. But, man, not only has Brady outdone him, it's not even close. It's not even close. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on anything? I mean, it's open. We're talking about the game. We're talking about the Super Bowl. We're talking about, 31-9.
The whole thing is because let's not forget, this Tampa Bay team was 7-5 at one point. And a lot of folks that had jumped on the bandwagon about them being Super Bowl bound and all that from the very beginning started to get off of that and started to say, well, he's not looking the same. They're not clicking like they should be. They're not this. They're not that. And T, you had said it when the playoffs started, or maybe I think it was a week or two before, and we've all thought that you happened to say it, and it was spot on. It's not about the best team. It's about the team that gets hot at the right moment. And those first 12 games, they must have been trying to feel themselves out, because after that, they just took off and never looked back.
And it makes sense. It makes sense why that happened.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, and we've seen it in past years, too. It's not always just like the Ravens, last year, going 14-2, and everybody thought, yeah, they're Super Bowl bound. They get knocked out in the very first game. So it's not about the best team, best record. It's about who gets hot at the right time. And we've seen it time and time and time again. Add to that, like I said, it's COVID year. And K-Star, you said no offseason, brand new team, brand new weapons, brand new everything, brand new coach, brand new conference. He spent 20 years in the AFC. Now he's in it. So all of a sudden, his whole world is basically flipped upside down. But he chose it because he knows what works for him. He knows what's at stake. He gets it. And a 7-9 team with Jameis Winston throwing 30-some-odd interceptions, he realized, you know what, I can work with these folks. And he got them to believe how to play the game, how to win. And here's the result. So, I'm looking at him like, damn, can't believe it. All those folks that hate Brady, you can hate them, but damn it, you got to respect him. Because holy shit, I still can't believe it myself. He looked like
man, that's a twist on Arthur Floyd. I'm sorry, go ahead. You want to go to war with me?
So
I read this. Go ahead, Trent.
Yeah. No, go ahead, bro. Go ahead. I'll get in there.
No, I was just going to say, I saw this earlier, ESPN Stats and Info, and it kind of just summarizes the ridiculousness of this team and Tom Brady's dominance. I mean, here's the stat. The Bucs are the first team with 4 30-point games in the postseason. They're the first team to beat 3 Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks in the postseason, Mahomes, Rodgers, Brees. And Tom Brady's first player in NFL history with 50 passing touchdowns in a season, when you include the playoffs, or Super Bowl champion. I mean, the path that they had to go through in the playoffs because of that 7-5 start, you know, they had to go on the road versus Brees versus Rodgers, and then obviously they played at home for the Super Bowl. But the path that they had to go through and still win all of it, the whole Super Bowl, is just incredible and remarkable. And I mean, I think this is a team and obviously season we'll remember probably for the rest of our lives. Like, this is the COVID year, and we saw Tom Brady go to a whole new conference and take down the we saw the greatest of all time take down the greatest of this time as it was billed yesterday, which I liked. So that was cute.
Yeah, I know. I know you like that one. Yeah.
It was nice. It was
good. Train.
Yeah, no, I stopped hating the minute he beat they beat Green Bay. That's like fucking dude. I'm done hating on you, dog. You know, I've tried. It don't work. You're pretty damn impressive. I mean, you took a team that, you know, really had almost everything in place except for the quarterback, maybe a little bit better play on defense, had weapons. You were the only one who could pull Gronk out of retirement and get AB on a team at the same time, and they end up being major contributors to winning a Super Bowl. I mean, it's just grossly impressive. And then what maybe did feel a little better yesterday about them winning is one of my good college buddies, man. He's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. He texted me during the game, and I was like, oh, man, I almost forgot about you, B-Lo. I'm like, man, congrats to your team, dog. I don't know how that feels. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't a fan for the 85 Bears. I didn't even know Chicago Bears at that time. So I don't know what this feels like. But congrats to your team, man. But that dude is – dang, man, that dude is impressive. I think at this point, he sticks around next year. I ain't say I'm pulling for him, but I'm done hating on him. I'm just going to marvel in the fact that if he turns around and able to get back again, I'm like, the whole NFC, y'all need y'all ass. With this dude is 44 years old. He's kicking y'all ass. So,
yeah.
So it's, well, look, it's stupid.
Look, yeah, let's be clear. I may not hate on him either. I damn sure ain't going to pull for him. I damn sure don't have any.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I got a team in the NFC I'm going to be rooting for, you know? So,
you know?
Yeah, but, you know what I mean? But to your point, Train, like, you know, it gets to the point where you just want to look at the guy and go, all right, Sam, you got me, bro. It's all you, bro. It's all you. Like, you look at next year. Now, I came on this show and I said last week before, a couple weeks ago, you know, I was kind of being a bit facetious, but there was an ounce of, like, what if in my voice when I said Josh Allen should, you know, why the fuck are you going to stay in Buffalo and have to play Kansas City every year and just, you know, and you guys were like, well, you know, their team's getting, I'm like, ah. Fuck all that. Go to New Orleans. Now I don't even know if I can say that because now you got to deal with this guy next year. Now you ain't got to deal with him for the next 10 years like you might have to deal with Patrick Mahomes, but you got to deal with him for at least the next year or two. Seems likely that he's going to be right there, and the level he's playing at 43 is unprecedented in the NFL. I mean, they say maybe Warren Moon, you know, might be one guy that played at that level in his 40s. But, you know, I mean, even Drew Brees can't do what, you know, like, I mean, you know, he was injured. But still, I'm pretty sure if Drew Brees is going to retire, I think he's all done. Like, this is just beyond words. It's just you run out of accolades.
Too.
And it's like, dude, 10 fucking Super Bowls?
10. Bro, he has more Super Bowl wins than the Steelers do. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
He's
well,
got more,
you know,
Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
In the franchise.
But I discount that damn stat because he did. You're not winning individual here. It's a team game. I saw that. You know.
No, it's
got
seven. Crazy.
He's got six. Well,
even if it's just even if it's six with the Patriots.
What's that?
Yeah. Even if it's six with the Patriots. Even if it's just six with the Patriots, and you know just count that one. I mean. It's still just as many as the Steelers, and we all know, you know, who was ahead of that. It's ridiculous.
No, I think what's more impressive is when you look at Brady has 7, and then, you know, Bradshaw and who's the other one that has 4? I'm drawing a blank.
Montana.
Yeah, I drew a blank. You know. So, you know, you go Aikman 3, Montana 4, Bradshaw 4, and then Brady 7. Like, what the fuck? You know? And then you look at appearances, and it's like, what? I know Charles Haley went to 5 Super Bowls. I don't know if there's anyone that even went to 6. And then you got Brady at 10? Like, it's just insane. It's like, what the fuck?
At 10
and he's not done.
It,
It doesn't even sound real. These stats don't even sound real. Like, this sounds like we're in an alternate universe where this is happening. Like, how the fuck does this happen in football?
Every other year, on average, he's been to the Super Bowl.
I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's freaking impressive.
Yeah. Can't hate on him. Great job, Brady. And, you know, and I think this is the type of thing that you sit back and you say, you know, what more can this guy do? And, I mean, he did not hesitate to say, I will be back next year. There was no, you know, I need to go and sit down and talk to my family and talk to my agent and talk to my people. He's got 7 Super Bowls. I'm coming back. Period. No discussion. No. I'll be back next year. We won't try to do this again.
Yep.
And anybody that would doubt is crazy. Like, I can't. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm going to be right up in there in Dallas. I better sign Dak Prescott. I'm going to tell you that right now because it's some bullshit.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet that went out yesterday. And you can ask my girlfriend because I lost my mind when I saw the tweet. And then I realized 10 minutes later that it was fake. But it was like, breaking news, Dallas signs Dak Prescott to, you know, NFL record, $180 million, $110 million guaranteed, some bull, whatever it was. And I was like, yes, I went crazy. Yes, finally, we got our guy. All right, it's on now. And then I looked, and it was 2 days old. And then I was like, oh, man, this is just somebody fucking with me. Boom. But for a few minutes, I was all happy. So I'm still being my, you know, my blue and silver. But, man. Hey, is Le'Veon Bell hurt? Or they just didn't play him?
They just didn't play him, man.
Yeah.
Wow, he was a healthy scratch.
It's interesting that Bell and Brown both make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, Bell really didn't have anything to do with Kansas City making it to the Super Bowl. I think we can say Brown helped. I don't know that, you know, it was a major contribution, but he helped. He had a couple of good games in there where, no, I think he had one game where Brady was trying to help him get his bonus and he had 11 receptions. You know, Brady was trying to help him and kept feeding him the ball so he can get his little incentive, which
and he scored yesterday. He scored yesterday too.
That was a nice little route, man.
Yeah, it was. He got it so open.
And Honey Badger was pissed.
Yeah, Honey Badger really made himself look like a jerk yesterday. I mean, you should know. You've been in the league long enough. You're not new to this. Don't get in Tom Brady's face, bruh. I get it. It's an emotional game, but come on. Brady has made some of the best quarterbacks in the league eat their words. Revis back in the day. Some of these guys, man, you know what I mean? Like, don't do that, bro. I know you're a bad boy.
Don't poke the bear, bro.
Don't poke the bear. Especially, Jay will remember this, the story about, you know, the Bulls, and they're beating up on this team, and then this guy dunks on Scottie Pippen in a game. And Scotty just points at the scoreboard. He didn't say a word, just points at the scoreboard. Like, dude, so you dunked on me. We whooping that ass, you know. Like, come on.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. Got to keep his composure better, man. You know.
Yeah.
It's competitive game, but don't let that take away from what you do best, man. And you just saw them kind of crumble a little bit.
Yeah.
There in the first half.
Yeah, the penalties, you know, and, you know, there were just some uncharacteristic things that had nothing to do with injuries, had nothing to do with offensive line, you know, and those, you know, this is the Super Bowl. This is where you bring your A game. This isn't the time to, you know, go back to week one like you didn't, you know, like you've been playing all year. And some of the guys, I think Train, you might have texted us, you know, Mahomes ready to go slap some people, you know, like what the hell are you thinking, you know?
I mean, dude, I know the path to heal would have been
impressive, but I've seen Hill catch tougher shit. It hit you in the face mask. You serious? Your hand-eye coordination got lost? Like, how did you not catch that? And then the same thing with Gronk. I know the guy hit you at the legs as you made your cut, but the ball hit you in the hands, and it was third down. How?
You mean Kelsey?
Like, what are y'all doing? Kelsey, yes. It was third down. Like, what are y'all doing to Mahomes, man? Like,
yeah.
This is why people like Kansas City, because y'all kind of do the miraculous, and it's like, holy shit. Yeah, this is what we was expecting. Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we had Hall of Fame this weekend. I want to congratulate Drew Pearson for finally getting in Dallas Cowboys. Drew was he's won two Super Bowls, member of the All 70s, the last member of the All 70s decade team to make it to the Pro Bowl. Long overdue. So congratulations, Drew Pearson. But I did want to ask you guys, and I don't have stats in front of me, and I don't have, I don't have data, okay? I'm just going off of a gut feeling and eye test, okay? And you guys can disagree with me because that's what we do, but I myself don't think that Calvin Johnson, the Hall of Famer, talent, but I think we talked about Hall of Fame criteria. And, can I tell the story of the NFL and not talk about Terrell Owens? Nope. Sure can't. Can I tell the story of the NFL and not talk about Calvin Johnson? Yeah, kind of can. Like, I don't get that one. I know he was a great talent. Megatron and, 6'5" and all that. And I know he had had some fucking massive games against Dallas. I mean, I know, and he might have some decent career numbers. I'd have to go back and look. I really don't have them in front of me, so I can't.
I do,
but okay.
They're pretty impressive. They are. Well, I would say, because when you were just talking about the list, I immediately pulled it up. I was like, shit, I don't remember the list. Let me see. And I saw his name. I was like, wait, Calvin Johnson is in?
you really are making my point. Because you have to go look to see the numbers, because where's the impact?
Right.
That's my point. Like we know what T.O. did. We know what Randy Moss did. We damn sure know what Jerry Rice did, right? Like, we know what these guys did. I don't have to go look at the top 10 to see their numbers. I know the impact they had on the game. I think about Calvin Johnson, and again, yep, major talent. But I'm like, I'm struggling. Like, what did he accomplish? What did he, And so then, right, you got to go look up the numbers and say, oh, okay. I guess, okay.
Pretty crazy.
But you got to go look it up.
I mean, Train, do you want to give out the numbers or?
Yeah. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right, 9-year career. So, kind of short in comparison to some of the guys that we look up to. Most impressive was 2012, 122 receptions and 1,964 yards receiving. The thing is, he only had 5 touchdowns that season. Other numbers
in the Hall of Fame because of one good season. So, I mean,
right. So if I'm going from 2007 on up, 48 catches, 756 yards, 78 catches, 331.
Career numbers.
It's only two.
Give us the career numbers.
Career numbers are for nine-year career, 731 receptions, 11,618 yards, an average almost 16 yards, a catch was 15.9, total touchdowns, 83.
180 catches, 20 plus, 41 catches of 40 plus yards. 555 first downs. I wish so I could see how it compares.
The most important, I got this one. So for yards per game, he's first in this all-time yards per game for any receiver who's played 5 years or longer. He's also the only receiver of multiple 200-yard games. He has five of them. I mean, his stats are fucking crazy, I got to say.
Yeah.
Like, that dude was amazing. I have no problem with him being a Hall of Fame because he was an anomalous player in many ways.
You're right that
he didn't.
Yeah, but, again, this is career, right? So, you know, DeMarco Murray had 1,800 yards, Cowboy record, top 10 season. He ain't going to Hall of Fame. So, I mean, I'm not focused on, like, a season here and a season here. I'm looking at his entire career. 700-something catches, yeah, okay, that's average. That's not exceptional. 11,000 yards, that's not bad. That's pretty good. That's probably about the ones out of all of them that I could say, okay, that's significant.
You don't care about the yards per game?
What?
First all-time yards per game?
I mean, if you said he played with the Patriots and did that, I'd say okay. He did it with a team that never won a playoff game, barely made the playoffs. I'm sitting there saying, what was his impact? You see what I'm saying? Like what was his impact?
Calvin was just, I agree with the criteria, like 99% of the, he's just like the one of the few players, kind of like Barry Sanders, where you could kind of say that.
Nah, don't do that.
But
don't do that. Disrespect.
Okay, fine. We'll use Gail Sayers. We'll use Gail Sayers, who had a shortened career. You know,
I wouldn't
who
even
was
do Gail
so,
Sayers, to be honest with you, but.
Well, I'm going to do it. He was so dominant in such a short period of time. It's hard to not put him in the Hall of Fame. Like, when he was in his prime, he was one of the most dominant players in the league. You know, Matt Stafford, the Lions organization, honestly, what held him back. It's not like he didn't do his part. He did his part. He went to work and did his thing.
But how can you call someone dominant that's playing on a team that loses?
Because this team
if you're
sucks.
Dominant, should
Barry
the team be winning?
Too.
What's that?
You can say the same thing for Barry Sanders. I mean, this team sucks.
They did.
Yes, Barry Sanders' team sucked, and Barry Sanders was rushing consistently for 1,500 yards a year in a time where no one else was rushing for 1,500 yards a year other than maybe Emmett. A little different. Barry was doing something that was not done. I mean, Calvin's season numbers, other than that one mega season he had that one mega season. The other season numbers, what jumps out at you? He had that one mega season.
Yeah.
Yep, awesome.
The next one closest to that. So the next one closest to that was almost 15. It was almost 1,500 yards receiving. It was just shy of 1,500 yards receiving.
That's not uncommon
like
in the NFL, though.
That's a little surprising.
That's okay. You definitely got to be one of the true elites to put up to 1,500. Like, it's not like every number one receiver on 32 teams put those numbers up.
We're talking Hall of Fame. We're not talking elite. We're talking mega elite. We're talking Hall of Fame is what I'm saying. I mean, that you guys have to convince me, but I'm still not seeing, like I said, you had that once, okay, 2,000, 1,900-something yards in a season. Awesome. I'm going to look up the numbers myself now. And I watched his whole career. I think the fact that, you know,
he was awesome.
We sit here and have to look up numbers.
Did you consider him?
We ain't got.
Did you consider him? Hold on. Did you consider him when he played as one of the best players and definitely the best receiver? One of the best receivers, like top three, his position. Because I don't remember a time where he wasn't like a top three receiver when he played in the league. Because I didn't make his rookie year. Like, he was always up there.
But that doesn't make him a Hall of Famer, though. Hall of Fame isn't – you're not one of the
best.
He was
just so dominant. Yeah, he's first all-time in yards per game, bro. Like, You know, but to counter that point, I'll say this. I mean, it's easier for that to come to fruition if you play a shortened career. You know, obviously when you are in your 10th plus year, your athletic ability deteriorates, so those sort of your production. You know, so it definitely buoys it some, but the point was he was
I'm looking at the numbers. I don't see it. I see some, okay, 2012, insane year. Insane. 122 catches. Might have been a record at the time. I think it's been beat, but, you know, might have been a record at the time. 1964 yards, 122 yards a game. Insane. You know, but for me, when I look at Hall of Fame, I mean, I don't want to have to pull up, like, T.O. or Moss or any of these guys that are like, you know, look, this guy went in first ballot. First ballot.
He did. I think that's the part that shocks. I think that's the part that shocks me. I remember us having this discussion some time ago, and, you know, the thought was, well, for me is that if he eventually made it, I was like, I could see it, but this is a first ballot, and that, I think that's the part that makes it a bit shocking. I'm looking at some other guys that were Hall of Fame just to see what their numbers were. Wow.
Try and find someone who's not a Super Bowl champion that has similar numbers that are in the Hall of Fame. That would be a fair comparison. And I'm kind of in the same boat, too. I'm looking at
Randy Moss. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jay. Go ahead.
No. I was done. Go ahead.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson is 32nd all time in yards.
Receiving.
Antonio Brown has more receiving yards than Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. That's the average yard.
I don't have that stat. But I don't – I mean, you can use that, but if – he chose when he retired. So, I mean.
Yeah, so, you know. So he first all time in that for years, for players over 5 years. But to T's point, what I just said a minute ago, like at the same time, if you retire earlier than guys who played 10 plus years, you know, you're athletic, you're buoying your numbers. You're outsizing your numbers versus guys that played longer careers because you're athletic. You were in your athletic prime when you retired, whereas other guys played longer careers, and so obviously the production went down because athleticism dwindled away over time. So, I mean, while he's first in that stat, he still got
Michael
potential
Irvin
that.
Is a Hall of Famer. Michael Irvin didn't have stats to woe me, woe anybody. 750 catches under 12,000 yards. You know why he's a Hall of Famer? Because he had 3 Super Bowls. That's why he's a Hall of Famer. Because his catches had impact, helped win games. And he was on a team that won 3 Super Bowls. I feel very confident that if Michael Irvin, Cowboy team, hadn't won 3 Super Bowls and Michael Irvin had the same stats, he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. And so, and the number, you know, he played 11 years and, you know, the catches are similar. And, you know, now Aikman wasn't Aikman, you know, I think in his whole career only threw for 30,000 yards. That was a different era. But my point is, I see a couple of great years, and he had a handful of super games. One of them was against us. I remember. I think he caught like 300 yards of passes against the Cowboys in one game. I mean, he was a phenomenal talent. I just don't get the Hall of Fame and definitely don't get the first ballot. I mean, make him sit 4 or 5 years and throw him in. I might be able to, you know, get behind that, but, you know.
I think so. So here's here's the source. I can't remember. Was Hester eligible this year?
No, I think
Evan Hester. I don't know.
And that's the part that's just getting me is that it's a first ballot. That's if I don't have an issue with him eventually
first
making, but
that.
It's like the first ballot. It's like, wait a minute. He put up big numbers and you see him, but man, first ballot. That's a, you know, I'm sure there are other guys. Now I want to go and see the rest of the list because I'm like, I'm sure I could find somebody that.
You know, Moss was first ballot. No one ever contested that. I don't think Calvin had nearly as good a career as Mary Moss, personally.
Well, and I think Moss being first ballot, I think part of it has to do with almost like the image changing as he got off the field. I think that you know, it changed people's impression of what they thought he was. They may not agree with it, but I think it did.
I mean, either way, that we all agree that Moss definitely deserving the first ballot, without question.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I don't think Calvin's
that first ballot.
Yeah, I will say while I do support Calvin as a Hall of Famer, I don't know if I support him at first ballot, thinking about it along those lines. Because,
yeah.
I mean,
right.
There's a pretty steep gap between those guys.
Yeah. All right, I was just wondering what you guys thought. All right, cool.
Good questions.
Yeah, I always have good questions.
God damn.
All right. You know, I understand that Dr. Train is going to be taking a little break from the Madden voice to focus in on his job and actually have Matt. So, you know, upon further reflection, I think we could all use a little break. I originally had thoughts on doing a few more shows before taking a break, but, you know, I think I think Tom Brady kind of took the wind out of my sails. Like, I'm out of it just feels like talking about anything else is moot, because Brady just I have nothing left to say. I don't really want to talk about Dak Prescott right now, although there's a lot there to talk about, and I don't want to talk about him right now, and that's my quarterback. You know, I don't want to talk about the coaching search, and I don't want to talk about free agency just yet, and, you know, where's, Deshaun Watson going to go? And there's a lot to talk about, but I think we will do, the show we'll do, is take a little break, take a few weeks. Let's see what goes on now that the season is over, and, you know, we'll keep an eye on things. And then what I'll do is, as stories progress and there becomes something major to discuss, I'll set up a show, and it'll be like we usually do in off season. I'll set it up, and who's ever available, I'll be ready to go solo if nobody can join me. But if you guys are free and want to pop in and join me to talk about, you know, Deshaun Watson got a team, or now the word is Carson Wentz is going to be traded. That's pretty big news, you know. So as things happen worth talking about, or if you guys think of something and want to do a show because Ben Roethlisberger retired, or, you know, Carson Wentz got traded to the Bears, and now Train wants to talk, and Train's like, I know what I said, but I want to talk about this, so set up a show. Okay, cool. You know, like,
boo.
You know, well, apparently he's one of the teams interested. The Bears are one of the teams.
I know, man, because they like their job is on the line, man.
So let's play it by ear over the next few weeks, and definitely by the time like free agency becomes active, we may want to come on and talk about free agency and who's going where and what's going on. But in the meantime, you know, we've gone, I think we only missed 1 week. I think we missed election week. I think other than that, we've been going straight since September. So yeah, I think it's time for a little break, regroup.
Sure.
Like I said, Brady just, oh my God.
It does feel kind of silly to talk about anything, though. I feel like I feel you. I don't really want to talk about Big Ben, like, reworking his contract deal. It just feels like he's cast a shadow amongst the league, and it's like, if you talk about anything else, he's going to come show up and whoop your ass. Like, what the fuck do you mean you're talking about someone else?
No, but the shadow is right. The only real story is Brady did it again. Like, that's the only story, is he did it again. I mean, when Leonard Fournette says, I'm going to tell my kids I played with Tom Brady, you know, like, I mean, the owner gets up there and says, well, we wanted to get it done, and we got the guy in here to get – the owner says it. Not talking about the head coach, you know, or any general manager, any, you know, anyone in the front. He ain't talking about Tom Brady. Like, everybody knows that team to the Super Bowl to beat the Juggernaut Chiefs. And
yeah.
Like, what is there else to talk about right now? There's nothing.
It's like in the NBA when Michael Jordan was when Michael Jordan was playing and he just won championship and us trying to find other material to talk about. Like, tell people to, like, it's just disrespectful.
Nothing else matters.
I was on the good side of that one.
You were.
I was. I think I might still have my replica. I bought a replica package of six NBA rings. I think I still have them somewhere around here. They're replicas. They're not expensive replicas. They're cheap, but they look just like the real six rings that they have. I bought them somewhere. And still have them. I'll take a picture and send you guys if I can find them. But anyway, but yeah, it's a good comparison. It's like, you know, I mean, heck, I can go back to the 90s Cowboys, you know, three out of four. And you know, the diamond and almost four out of four. Could have been five or six out of six if things have been different, but the dominant way that that team, like, there was nothing else to talk about. You know, Buffalo went 4 years in a row. Who cared? So everyone, who cares? You know, like, there was nothing else to talk about, really. Dallas was it. Jerry Jones and, you know, Jimmy Johnson and, you know, America's team. And that's how I feel right now. I mean, Tom Brady is the story, not the Bucs. The Bucs are not the story. Tom Brady is the story. So we'll regroup at some point, and like I said, I'll text you guys and be like, hey, you know, I think it's time to do a show. Whoever can make it, great. And if you can't, you know, train, you're busy with work, or anybody's busy, I understand. You know, it'll be optional. And again, if you guys decide that you want to talk about something, something happened with the Bears, something happened with, you know, the Steelers, or something happened with the Cowboys and JB, you're like, hey, man, I think we need to get on and do a show. Hey. Cool. We'll play it like that for the foreseeable future. But we'll take a little break and regroup and get over this Tom Brady hangover that we all have. Because I just thought in my lifetime that I would see what I'm seeing, and the problem I'm having right now, which is why I'm stammering over my words, is it ain't over. He's coming back next year.
Fucking reign of terror.
Hey, he just won the Super Bowl. Said he just won the Super Bowl. Said run it back.
He did. He like
run it back.
He's retiring. He like almost laughed at it. Like, yeah, I'm coming back.
Run it back.
Fuck all of you. Come back.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I don't know if you guys watch. You know, they were doing the stuff. It's like it really. He's happy, but he's not happy. It's like, yeah, of course we won. And he's happy. Don't get me wrong, but he this is what he does.
He's not satisfied.
He's back saying, yeah.
He's not satisfied.
Like, this is what I do. You know.
I think he loves the competition.
I win Super Bowls.
I think he truly does love the. I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, all the guys that play, they like competition. But I mean, I think this dude truly looks forward to that challenge of who's gonna come at me next. Who wants this next? Because somebody
has that Jordan mentality.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I was listening to a show radio this morning. And someone said, well, they'll be the hunted next year. And the other person was like, well, they were the hunted this year because it was Tom Brady. It's not.
Right.
They've always been the hunted because it was Tom Brady.
They were the hunted for how many years in New England? He was the hunted.
Exactly.
Did he care?
Because no. Not at all. He looks forward to it, and that's what you see.
Y'all knew that when you saw him get after the honey badger. He told him, I'm coming for you, and went after him and then got the time and told him about himself.
Mm-hmm.
That summed it up right there.
And then he apologized to him through text later on. True story.
No.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. It's February 8th, right? How long do you think it is before Brady's reviewing film and getting ready for the next season?
He's doing it tonight.
Like,
he's doing it tonight.
You know, and you know, but honestly, you know, he'll probably take a little time off, be with the family and do, you know, the dad thing and the husband thing and,
you know, and all that.
I mean, he kicked him out. He kicked him out of his house for 2 weeks.
He said he was getting sleep tonight. He said he was going to get some sleep tonight.
Did he hear that? Did he hear that story?
I did not hear that story.
So he kicked, I don't know if he kicked or what, but the family, Giselle and family and everyone, vacated the house for the 2 weeks so that Tom could get his mind right and study film as much as possible, basically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
am I leading up?
It wouldn't surprise me by the end of the week, he's not already starting to look at tape, like at least starting to break down this game to see what he could have did better, you know, figuring that it's not beyond the realm of reality that we don't see this team again. You know, a lot of times they'll have a Super Bowl team start the new season. So we could see this the first week of September next year. You know, one of them hosting each other, that happens. Then, of course, there's always the chance that they end up meeting in a Super Bowl again. And it wouldn't surprise me if sometime this month, Tom's looking at that date, breaking it down and trying to see where he could have did better. And just, like, he's that committed, that dedicated, and that good. Imagine being the best at something, one, in the world, two, ever to do it. Just think about that. And he's 43, which football years is old, but in life, he's still young. Got his whole life ahead of him. Like, wow. You know,
crazy.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. So, yeah, we could talk about Tom Brady all night. I don't really want to. We could talk about him all month. I don't really want to. I want to come off this Brady high. He deserves it. He deserves the respect. We'll take a break. We'll regroup sometime soon. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, he's the man. He's the GOAT. He deserves all the accolades. He's earned them. And it was very cool to hear Max Cullerman, you know, own it that he was wrong. You know, just, I mean,
oh man,
I had a similar take to Max, but not as quickly. Mine came a little bit later than Max a bit, but I felt, based on what I was seeing, that Brady was declining. I saw some games and I felt like, yep, here it comes. You know, and I remember Peyton Manning and what happened to Peyton Manning, and I started saying, yep, here it is. And I was wrong. But Max was just dead wrong, you know. Wow.
I want to know,
anyway,
where is K-Star's picture of what he had on the grill? Because I don't recall seeing that.
Oh, my God.
I thought he sent one. He didn't send one picture?
I sent one of them while I was grilling. I had pork chop. It was fucking delicious. My bad for not taking the photos of it.
I think
the one that was on the grill. Yeah. I didn't take pictures of the whole spread. I'm sorry. It was just me in my house, so I just fucking dominated that shit.
Oh, I see.
Hey, Trent,
just laying up on there. Look lonely.
Yes, what now?
It was lonely.
You wanted to see the snow. Did you see my snow?
I did, man. I did. I appreciate the picture. I'm still waiting on the burgers and the dogs. Like, this dude just not going to answer.
I didn't have burgers
text
and
messages.
Dogs. I made an audible. I had pork chop. I sent the photo of me grilling it.
You did?
Yeah, he did.
I thought that was T photo.
There was one picture from K-Star.
No, that was me.
There was a
lonely photo.
I did see the one picture
though.
Of him. I'll be honest. Until
it
he said pork chop just now, I'll be honest. I had no idea what the fuck that was. I ain't gonna lie.
You gotta put some words with it or something, because I was like, where is it?
I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Is this a piece of fish or what? Like, I had no idea what it was.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, good.
That's my bad.
Hey,
Star,
I got one word for you.
That one.
Seasoning. I see no seasoning on this damn piece of pork chop, bro.
Hey, he threw that on right after. That was right out the package, bro.
Oh, yeah. Man. Put it on the grill and took it back off, didn't you?
No, man.
That's funny. That's funny.
I put my left foot in. I take my left foot out.
Put out. Oh, man.
That's funny.
I see. Hey,
so,
these are nice pictures, though. I love it. We did the darn thing.
We did do the darn thing. So, yeah. All right, let's get on out of here, guys. It's been long enough, and We're ready for a little bit of a break. So let's start with Dr. Train, the one who got me thinking about taking a break. So Dr. Train, last words, final words.
I'm glad you started with me because I was sure going to ask you, could I go first? So since my last show, I just want to drop a few Black history tips in the sports arena, especially in the instance of football. If you guys have not seen, you know, the little 50-minute video on Fritz Pollard, just know he was the first African-American player and the first African-American head coach. Even when they interviewed Art Shell as a player, found out about Fritz Pollard and went to go tell his teammates, hey, y'all know about this guy? This guy was doing it in the 20s. And then when he became head coach, you know, he basically had to correct people like, no, I was not the first. I'm sure y'all seen the commercials. Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith, first Black head coaches to play. To coach in a Super Bowl, and then Tony Dungy goes on to become the first African-American head coach to win the Super Bowl. And the last one I have, which is most recent, Jennifer King, the first African-American woman to have a coaching position on an NFL team as the Washington football team's assistant running backs coach. Proud of my people. Just proud.
Can I add something to everything you're saying? Well,
yeah.
Just real quick, you guys didn't watch, and I don't just mean you guys on the show, but anyone out there listening, the pregame show, Viola Davis did a kind of a history of African Americans in the NFL, and she talked about Fritz Pollard, but really went into what happened, where there were African-American players and there wasn't, and how the league conspired to keep Black players out. And then a guy by the name of Kenny Washington was like the first one signed to play after they said they weren't going to let him in. And it was really, really, really well done. And it's probably YouTubeable.
That.
Yeah, it was
okay,
probably, it's
I gotta
probably
look for
YouTubeable. But it was Viola Davis who narrated it. And then Jim Brown, hopefully if they show it, they also show Jim Brown's follow-up, like, right after, and the comments he made. All of that right there is just, it's gold. It's gold. My girlfriend was watching, and she's like, wow, I didn't know any of that. That was really interesting. And I'm like, yeah, I knew some of it, but I didn't know all of that, you know. So
yeah.
As far as something they did really well on the NFL, you know, the Black History piece they did there. So check it out. YouTube it, I'm sure. Yeah. Go ahead, Train. I don't know if you have anything to say, but.
Yeah, no doubt. Just to wrap that up, you know, just like girlfriend, like she's saying, it's news to her. Trust me, it's news to a lot of Black people. You know, just like when Hidden Figures hit the theaters, I'm just like, wow, I had no freaking clue. And I'm sitting here years in engineering, going through school, and none of this was shown to an end. And I had a dean who was all about, you know, giving us the history of Black people in technology, and we knew nothing about Hidden Figures. So seeing this stuff about football is pretty awesome. And those years were 1934 to 46, but it kept African Americans out of professional football.
So the thing is called Invisible No More.
Invisible No More.
YouTube, 6 minutes long.
Okay.
With Viola Davis, Evolution of the Black Athlete in the NFL. So highly recommend.
I'll definitely check that out. Other than that, I'll echo what K-Star said. NFL, congratulations. You did it through a very rough time for people. I did not think – I was definitely one of the ones, like, I don't think they're going to make it, but they made it. And I actually had a scare that they almost did not have the players for this game, as they had to get a guy out of the Kansas City Chiefs facility who tested positive for COVID, and he was about to cut a ton of players' hair. So that was like their closest scare leading up to the Super Bowl. Outside of that, dude, it's been a great year. Another year on the show with you guys. This is always fun even when we're screaming and yelling at each other to where we're cracking jokes on each other. It is a ton of fun. I don't know how much I'm gonna support my Bears next season. I don't like this coaching staff, but I am still a fan, and it's just like the agony. So maybe if they pull out
fans
four first round picks for Deshaun Watson, maybe I'll watch. Because I think he's worth that much for the football team. Outside of that, man, just look forward to the off season, and yeah. Damn, it's at the end. Damn it, T, you always say it. Shit, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
Oh,
it's
man.
Over. Okay.
Hey, that's all I got. It's been an impressive year.
Okay. K-Star?
Yeah, I mean, what a wonderful year. Well, I won't say it was wonderful, but what a crazy year. Ups and downs for sure, you know, on the football field and with COVID. Everyone needs to still take it seriously and be very careful. We're definitely not through it. But yeah, I'm going to miss you guys and looking forward to next year. This year was awesome and different for sure. Very different. One we'll always remember. And yeah, just again, as always, like every year, had a blast and looking forward to the next year and love you guys. Had a great time. Thanks for having me on yet again.
Absolutely.
Sounds good. All right, JB.
Before I even go any further, I have to give a special birthday shout-out to the wifey. I mean, that's really why we're on Monday night instead of Tuesday night. Going to be celebrating her birthday tomorrow. So she might be listening. If she is, great. If she's not, love you, babe. We're going to have a good time.
She was.
Get over the week.
She was.
She's
not now, but she was for a little bit,
yeah.
Yeah, happy birthday to the Mrs. Voice of Reason.
Happy birthday for sure.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that. On a football note, it's going to be man, it sucks because my schedule the way it is, this is one of the few outs that I really have, and I look forward to all four of us getting it on, talking about the sport that we love, talking about the teams that we're affiliated with and the love that we have for our teams and just the love for the game of football itself. I'm looking forward to the off season because that's where championship teams are built. And then as T always says, we settle those feuds on the field, but knowing how all 32 teams are going to try and position themselves to be a better team than what they were the year before to get to that ultimate prize, which is not just getting to the Super Bowl, but winning it, interests me a whole lot. So I'm looking forward to sharing all of that with y'all, talking with y'all, and hopefully, if not this year, but maybe this year, depending upon COVID, we can all meet together and do a live show. I can't wait for that. Have my peoples for a live show would be terrific. So that's definitely
yeah.
The goal that I have for us, and I'm appreciative, too, of being on for another season. So glad to spend it with y'all and looking forward to more to come.
All right. I'll try to be brief. First is I do want to say a happy 6 years to my girl. 6 years yesterday. And we did a little bit of celebrating yesterday, and we'll wrap up our celebration on Valentine's Day. But so happy 6 years, Lena. And, you know, I echo a lot of what you guys said. I enjoy this show. I mean, my brother lives, you know, 1,100 miles from me, roughly. And then with COVID, you know, didn't get to see him at all last year. Would have at least once, if not twice, probably got to see him. And that doesn't happen. And, you know, it's just me and him. You know what I mean? So, you know, if people that have brothers and sisters close by, enjoy, because it's, you know, it's rough sometimes not having, you know, I can't call him and say, let's go meet at the bar and have a beer and catch up, or, you know, it's just, you know, he's down there and I'm up here. And so the fact that we can get on this show, and I know for 4 or 5 months, at least once a week, I get to chop it up with my brother about something that we both love and both grew up
watching the same team, and it certainly that alone is worth the price of admission for me. So appreciate that. Appreciate you, bro. And you know, Train and I, man, you know, I still have fond memories of driving from Bridgeport to Bristol, and Jay knows how far that drive is. Train knows it now because we'd be on the phone the whole time. And, you know, just chopping up football, man. Just, you know, I mean, and it was really that had me say, this guy needs to get on this show, you know. And like I said, guy that I have never met, but man, the shit that him and I have gone through as friends outside of football is stuff that will, you know, stay between him and I, but it's the stuff that makes friends brothers that I consider, you know, Train a brother. And I agree with JB, man. We got to figure out a way that four of us get together. I've got the technology, and it can travel. So we got to figure out a way after COVID, maybe for this upcoming season, where we pick a spot and we say, okay, you know, here's what we're going to do. And trust me, we can, I'll get on the phone with a local sports bar, wherever we are. I assure you, if I tell them, you know, I give them the link to the show and they see we've done, you know, all the shows that we've done in our history, and it's reputable, they'd be more than happy to have us come in and do a live show together at one of their places. So that I can take care of all that, but I would love for that to happen. And last but not least, you know, K-Star, you know, a lot of things you and I don't see eye to eye on. Your political views I don't like, and there's just certain things about the way you look at things that just rubs me the wrong way. But I know underneath that is a good dude, is a good person. You got a good heart. You're a good guy, and that's why you're still with us, because I know it's not personal. I know the things that you post and the things that you may say for Trump or against whoever or whatever, I know it's not meant as a negative against any of us. And that's why I'm able to just give you a hard time about it, but then move on and keep you with us as family. So, and I'll be honest, I couldn't picture doing the show without you. You know, as much of a hard time, I don't know. It wouldn't have the same sizzle. It wouldn't have the same sizzle, honestly, if any of us four were not here. I just think we four bring a combination of different unique experiences. I mean, Jay and I are brothers. We grew up together, grew up in the same house. But we on this show, we are two different. We are so different. Even when we agree, we're totally different, you know? And so there's just four individual voices. But when you blend them together, there's a harmony of what we talk about, and it's just beautiful. I love it. You know, I have a very good time doing the show with you guys, and I'm going to be sad the day comes that we decide to call it quits. It'll be a sad day for me. You know, day comes and it's like, you know, hey guys, I think I you know, I really don't have the time anymore to do the show, or I say it, or you say it, or we all do whatever. So in the meantime, just like I say during the football season, let's enjoy all these games because the season's going to end and now the season's over and we can stick our bottom lips out and be sad. I'm going to enjoy every opportunity we have and not really think about what happens when and if, because life is so hard and so challenging and so many things happen. People die, right? And we've got, you know, COVID, and we've got unemployment, and we've got food insecurity, and just so much stuff going on. To just have this hour or two every week with my boys, you know, just sit, talk some football, chop it up, have a good time, man, it's priceless. It's priceless. So I'm looking forward to continuing it. But we're going to take a little break. The off season, we're going to breathe a little bit. We're going to appreciate and respect Tom Brady for the GOAT that he is. And the, you know, I said this when Michael Jordan played, there will not be another. And as great as LeBron James is, he ain't Mike. And I'm saying it now, but whatever Brady has left to give, enjoy it. Cause once he's gone, that's it. And that's what we need to do. And so to honor Brady, we're going to stop doing this show for a little while because ain't nothing left to do.
But we will be back. We will be back. Well, let's put it like this. There will be more Madden voices. I can't speak for who will be on. I understand the commitment sometimes can be a bit much. And so I have all the respect in the world. If you guys say, look, T, carry the ball until the fall. I'll see you in, you know, late August. and that'd be just fine with me if that's what you all wanted to do. But you're always welcome. Anytime there's a show, if I'm doing a solo show and y'all want to pop in and jump on, you guys know you're welcome to do it, because I do want to keep some continuity going with the show in the off season. So I do plan here and there when news pops up to jump on and want to talk about something. And worst case scenario, we usually do a draft show. So hopefully we can regroup, you know, by April to at least do the draft show, because I always enjoy doing that. So hopefully we can at least do
it. I'm in.
So.
Yeah, I'm in.
Schedule should be lighter by then.
Yeah, that should be fun. So with that said, I know I had a lot to say. I appreciate you guys indulging me. To my brothers, Dr. Train, K-Star, and JB, my real-life brother, but also my show brother, thank you guys. It's been a great year. I've enjoyed it immensely. I look forward to next season. But I'm going to enjoy this break just like I know you are. Happy birthday, sister-in-law. I meant to say that earlier and didn't get in. Everybody was saying happy birthday, but happy birthday, LaToya. JB, if she, I don't think she's listening, so make sure you extend a happy birthday. I'll probably do it on Facebook anyway, but, you know, but still, make sure you tell her I said happy birthday. And guys, it's over. Tampa Bay 31, Kansas City 9. That feud was settled on the field. Everybody take care. We will be back to you again real soon. Good night.